The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Her dream of ministry was buried as she wrestled with her faith after being hurt by her church.
I always say church hurt is the worst kind of hurt because it's like getting stabbed in the back while you're looking the person in the eye.
Wow, yeah.
You know, they're your friends, they're your family, these are the people that you have been doing life with. And so I was skittish. Every time I would go into a church, I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to get into relationship because I didn't want to get hurt again.
Natalie Runyon found hope and healing through perseverance.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent. This is Randy Robison. Welcome to Life Today. Randy, we're going to have another great show today.
I know. I've already talked to her.
Have you?
Online. Have you? Yes, I did.
Oh, she's amazing.
But you've kind of known her a little bit for a while, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the one thing I love about social media is that when it connects you to the right people, mm-hmm. especially people in ministry that I'm so drawn to and can speak to so many different things that are going on within the church that really helps me grow in my faith. She's one of those girls that somehow I found her and I didn't want to leave. I stayed. And I, like, every time something would pop up, I'm like, Natalie, there she is again. And I would lean in for a listen because she has so much wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then I dug in a little deeper to find out she talks a lot about church hurt and abuse in church, but not just that, but how God can bring hope and healing into the lives of so many that have experienced that. So Natalie Runyon, it's so good to have you here. I'm going to tell you, my best friend.
It's so good to be here with you guys. Yes. I feel like I know you already, so thank you for having me.
Yes, you've got a great book out titled Raised to Stay. Tell me about this book. I mean, let's dive in right from the beginning. I mean, tell me about the book. Tell me about your life, who you are. Let's introduce you to other people.
Well, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I always say I didn't choose the thug life. The thug life chose me. You know, you grow up in the ministry. It's a family business that you didn't necessarily think you wanted to inherit. And then following being a pastor's kid, I found myself in full-time ministry as a worship leader, a women's leader, going into leading choirs of children. I loved the church, even after going through extreme hurt. Mm. In my late teen years, which are our most formative years, we know, really having to wander and wrestle my way through my own faith through college. But the Lord, He found me and He brought me back into adult ministry. And it was in that I began to wrestle with God's people. Mm. And we know that people are very people-y and church people are very church people-y. And just learning myself how to navigate my own hurt as an adult, but then also trying to figure out, why are my friends leaving the faith? Why are so many people deconstructing? Why are people not just walking away from church, but walking away from Jesus? And that broke my heart, mm-hmm. which is why I began writing these black boxes with white writing on social media, just trying to convince myself not to quit, mm-hmm. hoping that I, in turn, would help others not want to quit, not just church, but their relationship with Jesus.
Wow. Was there ever a time when you did quit?
I wasn't in full-time ministry for about 10 years. I was a gym teacher, believe it or not, who would also lead worship on the weekends.
Really?
And I think having that job in the world with people who didn't know Jesus, that was almost invigorating for me because it made sense that non-believers would be a little bit crazy sometimes, but when Christians are crazy, you feel really betrayed by that because we're supposed to have it together. And so when I went back into full-time ministry in my mid-30s, that's when the Lord really began to show me, you do love my people, you do love me, and I need you to do this and to not give up, and so here I am.
My previous pastor used to say from the pulpit, if you haven't been hurt in church, you haven't been going long enough. Right?
So
and unfortunately, I'm right. Unfortunately, there's some truth to that. But in kind of loose terms, what happened to you guys that caused that initial hurt?
When I was a senior in high school, we had been pastoring a church that we adored. We lived in the church parsonage. My dad was the associate pastor. And one Sunday we show up and we're told, this is your last Sunday. There was no warning. There was no meeting. And in front of all of these people who had raised me and who had been my family, we had to say our goodbyes. And I remember as a teenager, it feeling like a funeral. as people were weeping, completely caught off guard, and having to go and pack up our home and drive away with no plan. And thankfully, my dad had been in wonderful congregations before, and this incredible family invited us to come live in an efficiency apartment above a barn. And I spent the last part of my senior year of high school almost like David running from Saul. Like, this can't be your people. This can't be your church. God, redeem it. Make it better. As I'm listening to my dad circle job openings in the newspaper with a yellow highlighter and just feeling my identity as pastor's kid being stripped away from me, which launched me into going to a public university, majoring in a science major, and having to fight for my faith in an environment that I had never been in before for the very first time.
And so no fault of your family's, no fault of your father's,
no,
but just kind of cut off and kicked out. Did you at the time, or did it take some time, to differentiate between God's people doing ungodly things and sort of what a lot of people do, which is kind of just reject God?
It did, because I always say church hurt is the worst kind of hurt, because it's like getting stabbed in the back while you're looking the person in the eye.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, they're your friends, they're your family. These are the people that you have been doing life with. And it is the worst kind of betrayal when the church doesn't protect you the way the church is supposed to protect you.
Yeah.
And so I was skittish. Every time I would go into a church, I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to get into relationship because I didn't want to get hurt again.
Sure. Yeah.
And it would take nearly 10 years for me to want to really enter back in and risk getting hurt again, because I do believe that the reward of love is greater than the risk of getting hurt. But that takes a journey to get there when you've been hurt.
Sure.
Yeah. How do we know when we're in a situation when we're being hurt, like church hurt, or if somebody's trying to hold us to accountability, and I'm just hurt because you're calling out my sin here, and now I'm uncomfortable, and you know, and now I feel hurt by that. Like, how does somebody know the difference between you are abusing me or you are trying to hold me to a higher standard in my life?
Well, first of all, I just want to say to anybody who's been abused by a leader or by a church, I'm sorry. I believe you. I know what happened, and we know what happens. And so abuse is one of those that, just like we wouldn't tell somebody to stay in an abusive marriage, we would not tell somebody to stay under abusive, toxic church leadership that's causing them harm.
That's
so if that is you, we believe you, and we don't want to see you stay in that.
Right.
However, there is a difference between abuse and offense. Offense is something that we pick up. It's something that we choose to carry. Where abuse happens to us, offense is a choice. And so when somebody corrects me in love, or they correct me in a way that's not abusive, but corrective to help me grow, I have a choice. Am I going to pick that up as an offense and move on and take my toys and try to find something better? Or am I going to take this as a wise counsel and allow myself to grow through what's uncomfortable, but not abusive? And there's a discomfort that comes with growth. Iron sharpening iron. We know it's not going to feel good, but there is a massive difference between being held accountable and being stretched and grown and being truly abused.
It's interesting you say that about offense, because the scripture tells us that offenses will come. In this world, offenses will come, and sometimes they come through the church. But it also tells us not to take offense, and what you said there, to pick up, right? To take. So to me, I go, okay, those aren't inconsistencies. Those aren't contradictory. It's saying that the offense is going to come, but we have a choice. We can pick it up and take it and walk with it and live with it, or we can let it go. How did you learn to let that offense go?
It's a daily surrender to choose not to be offended by things, and also by the people that are in leadership over us, the people we're in relationship with. And every day it's a heart check. It's a posture check. It's, Lord, search my heart. Before I start pulling specks out of other people's eyes, let me look for the plank in my own and search my heart. Where am I carrying offense? Where am I carrying unforgiveness? And as I travel across the world and I ask people, hey, if you've been hurt by the church, let's come forward and I'd love to pray with you. The altars are full. And what's happening is people lay down those offenses, as they lay down those things that have been holding them down, as they seek to forgive those who have hurt them. Maybe may not trust them again,
sure.
Or enter right. back into a relationship. Sure. But as they choose to forgive, we're not just seeing spiritual healing, we're seeing physical healing.
Wow.
I'm seeing a woman whose ear has been closed her entire life. She can hear now for the first time. And we're seeing little boys who couldn't walk. 3 months later, I'm getting videos from their mom of these little boys running through fields. And what I didn't expect was that as spiritual healing was happening, that physical healing would come. Because the weight of offense, the weight of unforgiveness is tangible.
Yes.
And I'm watching the church throw off those chains and run to their healer, and it's beautiful.
Wow.
Incredible. Honestly, I love because it gives you so much hope to know that. I mean, I know people that have left the church also because they've been hurt. I've been abused, I've been hurt. So I'm done with God. I'm done with church. And they find it even hard to want to go back. And I hurt so much because I think you're missing out so much of what God has for you. People have hurt you. People have taken from you. But God will not do that to you. People are unhealthy. People are toxic. But God is whole and He is not toxic. How do you help somebody that's been in that place that just doesn't want anything to do with church? Don't tell me about Jesus. But how would you tell them today, Natalie, that there is hope? How can you tell them to take a step closer to forgiveness, to find healing in their life, because God has more for them?
You know, God is not in a hurry with your healing. He's not in a hurry to rush you back into a church family or back into a church community. He's in a beautiful place of this patient King who sits with us among the hard and the hurt to reveal His hope and His holy that may not come for several years or in the form of vindication or what we think is justice, but in this peace that passes all understanding that guards our hearts and our minds through Him that we can't put words to. And so I would just say, don't be in a hurry. Healing is not linear. And though we as humans are very quick to rush people into healing, our God is so patient and so kind, and He was there when the hurt happened. He was there when the hard happened, but He is so excited to bring you into the hope and the holy.
Amen.
And that can only be done by abiding in Him, resting in Him, meeting with Him. That John 15, if you'll abide with me, I will abide with you. And through that, good fruit will be produced. And what I don't want to see is any more Christians dying on the vine at the hands of abuse, of hurt, and things that we don't have to keep on living out as the people of God. We can run to healing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So back to your story. Mm. What happened to your family, to your father, after this unexpected and undeserved church hurt?
There were several years of us wandering as a family. When you've been a pastor's family your whole life and that's taken from you, it's an identity crisis as a whole. But a few years later, my dad would call me at college and say, I've been invited to be a pastor at another church. And I remember my first reaction was, well, it's your funeral. You know, go for it. You know, I would rather not, but that's fine. I was still really hurt. But I watched as my dad continued on in ministry over the next several years and even into ministry in other capacities. I ended up going into full-time ministry. But it's interesting that 3 years ago, the church that hurt us when I was a senior in high school, I get a phone call from the new pastors who were in my youth group that Sunday that we were dismissed.
Oh, wow.
They're now the pastors of this church.
Jeez.
They call and they say, Natalie, we're having the 100-year anniversary of the church, and we're calling back a few leaders from the past. Would you come and lead us in worship? And I remember saying, no, like, why would I do that? There's been therapy and there's been, you know, counseling. Why would I go back? And the Lord said, Natalie, you're writing a book about a reconciled church. You should go back.
Mm. Yes.
And so I remember calling them up and telling them, okay, I'll come, making that flight with fear and trembling to this place that I had loved so desperately and been hurt so badly. Walking in, the pews look the same. The smells are the same. Everything's the same. And feeling that just gut, just hurt, but also this deep love. And the people that I had known since I was a little girl, they're still sitting in their pews. They're still there. They're still alive. And you could tell they're trying to figure out who I am and why I'm there. And as I was leading worship, we got finished with the set and it was the offering time. And the new pastors, they start to introduce us up on the platform and they get to me and they say, this is Natalie. Her dad, Ron, was one of our favorite pastors to ever pastor this church. And the whole room goes up in applause.
Wow.
And the Lord just stopped me and said, Natalie, what you thought was exile was actually an exodus. They didn't hate you. They're just as innocent as you were. It was one or two broken men who made a decision that the enemy hoped you would cast on the entire church.
Mm.
And it was one or two people and how close he came to winning. But he didn't win because I went back. And as I got off that platform, those sweet old ladies were coming up to me and hugging me and tell your daddy that he was my favorite hunting buddy and tell your mom we miss her singing. Oh, and it was this huge family. And you know that my parents now attend that church on Sunday mornings and are mentoring the new pastors of that church. Wow. And they're back in family, going out to eat every Sunday with those people that they once pastored. And it's a joy for them to now support the new pastors. And this is why we can't quit. A lot of us are quitting before the miracle. And my miracle came 30 years later. My parents' miracle came 30 years later, but God is a God of reconciliation and restoration.
Yes.
And he doesn't quit on us,
no.
So we don't quit on him.
Oh my gosh, girl, there's so much right there. I just want to I want to cry. And then I'm like, it's so beautiful. I rejoice when I see God's people being healed, when there's reconciliation. It's so beautiful to me. And I love that part of your story, that redemption. I love it. And God is using you every single day, every single day. Natalie, your voice is incredibly powerful and very needed in today. We talk a lot about deconstruction. And I think your book, Raised to Stay, maybe touches a little bit on that as well. But what do you hope that church leaders will take away from your message?
That deconstruction doesn't have to be a bad thing. That when our people come to us and say, I'm deconstructing, in a lot of ways, that doesn't mean deconversion. Mm. It means that we're detangling from some of the religious, the religious things that have been placed on us that we were never meant to wear, that it wasn't Jesus. It was never Jesus. And for me, in my generation, some of that was purity culture. There was some shame. No grace. A lot of Christians are just trying to detangle from some of the weight of religion.
A lot of
and
legalism.
They're learning how to know this Jesus that they've been desperate for. So pastors, keep teaching your people Jesus. Keep pointing them to Jesus. If it's not Jesus, don't talk about it. Point them to the healer.
Yes,
point them
yes.
to the one who sets them free. Point them to the one that can restore and redeem. And as people get to know this Jesus, they're more likely to run towards Jesus' people, you know? And we're gonna be imperfect, but God is the perfect one, and we cling to him.
I don't know, Natalie. I think maybe we should discuss that tattoo you got last week.
I also went to the Taylor Swift concert, but don't
I'm so sorry. I went to you too last week. Okay. To the person who is watching who has been hurt in church and they're trying to figure out, they're in the hard part that you talk about in the hurt, the hard, the hope, and the holy, this path that you lay out in the book. What do you say to them at this moment where they're having a hard time hearing anything from anybody that has anything to do with any kind of church, but they're watching you right now?
You know, I would say God loves you so much, and his eyes have never taken off of you. They've never been taken off of you. His eyes have been on you. He was in the rooms. He heard what was said, and he sits with you in the sorrow of what feels lost, and it's okay to feel that sorrow, but there is a hope that sings over you, and it's a song that only the presence of God can sing over you. And so I pray that as you sit in the tension of the now and the not yet, that you will know that you have a Father who loves you, a Father who sees you, a Father who will never stop loving you just as you are, and that there is a family that is waiting for you when you're ready to come home.
So good. So good. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for opening up. And you know what? We have a chance to be the church as God designed it to be. Mm-hmm. There are some people who are hurting. There are people who are wondering, where is God? We have the chance, you and I together, to reach out and to show them what God's really like, a chance to heal a hurt. Watch this and you'll see how.
Oh, hello. Thank you for letting me come to your house. Hello, Mama.
As I told you earlier, our friends at the medical clinic shared a little of your story with us. And so we wanted to come and pay our respect and our condolences. Can you tell me your baby that you lost? What was the baby's name? As I've sat here today and listened to Christina's story, it's the story of so many mothers here in Angola and so many of the other countries that we work here in Africa. Valentin was sick and you took him to the hospital. What did the doctors tell you? There are so many things, whether it be drought, whether it be floods, so many variables that affect their lives that are so fragile already that just one little change can bring destruction. One little change can bring death. Do you think about Valentin often? What was he like? I know it's hard, I'm sorry. It's okay. When I asked Christina about Valentin, she can't hardly talk about it. And she's able to talk about this brand new baby. And boy, when I asked about her daughter that is still alive, she brightened up and she wanted to talk. But the fact is, a mother's heart cries out for the one that is lost. What do you believe would help your village? How does that make your heart feel? She said, many people talk about the solutions, but they never come. And the reality is we do have the solution. We have the solution with mission feeding, because mission feeding provides food for children in school. High protein, high caloric diet that will give them everything they need to learn so that there is a future and a hope for them. So I'm asking you, would you please help us with mission feeding? We can together put a hot meal in every mission feeding bowl every day for a child's life.
A mother's heart cries out for the one that it lost, or the other one, or the other one. When I sit and watch that piece, and I see her with so much sadness in her eyes, in her life, everything that's surrounding her, I ache inside, because I just think, how could I change that for her? How could I give her something that would bring life to her, smile? And at the end of the piece, you see how the little ones are sitting there and they're on the ground and they're eating the food that we provided for them, that you have helped provide for them. And I can't help but smile in that moment, because I know that is turning everything around for them. Just as John said, like one little change could change everything for the good or the bad. Together today, we have that chance to change everything for these families, these children, to change it for good, life-changing good. That is something I want to be a part of, and I'm asking you today, if you've never had an opportunity to give, today's the day to do it. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Or let's not wait on someone else. God is asking you to respond. I'm going to ask you to respond today as well, too. We are feeding every single day 350,000 children. That is amazing to me. And we want to do even more. So with your giving today, $30 will feed 3 children for 3 months. $50 will feed 5 for 3 months. $100 will feed 10 for 3 months. For $1,000, you could feed 100 children every single day for 3 months. This is the last week. Right now, right now is the time to decide, to change, to make change for these children right now. Today is the day. Do not hesitate. Do not wait. Let's be the difference. Let's be life to these families. Let's turn everything around by the very small little change we make, Randy.
Tammy, I love your heart. I love your empathy. I know you've seen it.
I know.
And you feel it, and that is such a godly response, and I appreciate that about you. And I know many of you watching feel the same thing. I got to tell you, at the same time, there's people like me. And John talked about the variables that lead to hunger. And we think, well, what if they just move somewhere else? What if they didn't have as many children? What if? Let me ask you this. What if God is just testing us and saying, when you see a need, will you fill it? Will you be my hands and feet? What if it's about more than just hunger? What if it's about us being God's representatives as He designed us to be? Whatever the motivation, I hope that you'll look at this as we wrap up this year and say, you know what? I'm going to give, and I'm going to give generously, because I want to bless those people in the name of Jesus. I want to meet a physical need and also a spiritual need. Will you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. Let's kick off the new year by ending it with generosity so that we can go into the field and feed even more and more people and say, God loves you. Do it now.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the brand new Life Planner. Bound in soft touch leather, this planner will help you with your daily walk with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the God's Promise Serving Bowl. This beautiful and versatile ceramic bowl is decorated with 2 Corinthians 9:8 and will make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I hope you are going online, or if you prefer, go to the phone. This is the last week we will be in this emphasis. And at the end of the year, you know, this is the last week to get those tax deductions in. But really, most importantly, this is the chance to reach out to someone who is hurting, someone who is desperate, who really needs your help today. We can be the love of Christ to them. And Tammy, when they do that, I hope they'll request Natalie's book, whether for themselves or for a gift, maybe, right?
Yes, you need to. It's a great book. I promise you, it will bless your life or somebody that you know. Yeah. So with any amount that you can give today and come alongside us, we want to make sure to send you Raised to Stay by Natalie Runyon. We love you. We appreciate you. I am so glad you have found healing in your life, so now you could use your voice to help others find that same healing, Natalie. God bless you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
I just want to remind all of you that we do approach the end of the year and the new year, but we have a wonderful time to make year-end gifts, which are not only a blessing to all the people that the gift literally gives life to, but also gives you a break. It's very meaningful. So keep that in mind and just know that we're going to share the life and love of God because of your help.
When planning your future, keep their future in mind. Contact Life Planning Services today.
Just because you have faith for the outcome doesn't mean you don't have pain in the process.
Amen.
And Jesus expressed the pain of the process because he was wearing a human body.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.